Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ezra. Ezra, that's about 75, 80 pages before the book of Psalms. Ezra chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6 together. Ezra chapter 1. Now I want you to keep your Bibles open after we pray and have our special, because we're going to use the book of Ezra this morning, very, very much so. Ezra chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Some of you didn't even know that was a book in the Bible, right? Ezra 1, verses 3 through 6. Who is there among you all of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, and beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all those them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with precious things, besides that was all willingly offered. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Holy Spirit of God, help us as we open your word and preach it as you have it here for us. Pray that you'd help us. Bless these that are here. Lord, bless those that'll hear it later. But Lord, most of all, would you do a work here in our hearts today? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Ezra was a man of God that was commissioned by God to go into Jerusalem after Nehemiah had rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem and build the house of God for the people. God wanted his house done first. They built the wall for protection, and then he said, I want you to go in, and I want you to build the house of God first. Then my people will have a place to meet. They'll have a place for me to meet with them, and it'll help them in the daunting task ahead of them. I love how God words things in the Bible. Can I tell you something? You don't need a new Bible. You just need to read the old one. Man fiddles with things and tries to think that he knows more what God said than God actually said. Why don't we just take God what he said and not try to improve it? but it's interesting. Ezra was told to build the house of the Lord. He was asked to do the very same thing that we are about to do, to rise up and build the house of God. That's exactly what it is. I'm so excited that God gives us everything we need in this book right here. And pay attention to me just for a second here. There's a lot of churches out there that do it a lot of ways, but I just believe in taking God's outline and doing it God's way. Yeah, I'm just a simple country boy. I'm a simple preacher. I'm not complicated, but I just believe if God said it and God told us how to do it, we ought to do it his way, not everybody else's way. I just believe that. So if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. As I've prayed and begged God to help us to have a permanent place of our own, I find myself saying this a lot. And I hope you'll bear with me for a moment. But, Brother Larry, often I'm praying and I'll say, God, how can the Catholics do it and we can't? How come the denominationalists and the non-denominational do it and I'm struggling? I don't believe that you are for them over us. God, how come they did it in days of old? Why can't we do it? And he says, you can. Listen to this very carefully. We truly are not the only ones who have faced what we're doing. Now, I thank God for some reason. God put in me a little bit of this redneck spirit, pioneer spirit, whatever you want to call it, mountaineer spirit. I just got a little bit of trust God in me. I told Brother Stoltz this morning, faith means you got to be just about half crazy. You got to just step out on the edge of the limb and say, okay, God, don't cut the branch. Amen. I've got just enough of that in me to where I believe God wants to do it, and he's been proving it all along, step by step. I'm not one of these people that says, well, let's wait till we have all the money sitting in the bank, ready to go, and then we'll decide what we're going to do. Good night, we need a permanent place. We're losing people that come and visit and say, as soon as you get a place of your own, we'll come back, but we're not sitting on somebody else's lap crammed in that little room. We've probably had 100 people tell us that. Well, we're going to do it. God wants us to do it, and God wants us to do it now. We're truly not the ones, the only ones who have faced this, but I want God to show himself that it's his work, not ours. I want him to show that he did it, not us. For us to say, well, look what we did, we're gonna fail. How about we say, look what he did? This is for him, amen, not just for us. It's for us to meet so that we can do more for him. Yes, but I just happen to believe he wants to be a part of it. Amen. Now, listen to this very carefully here. I do not want Grace Baptist Church to do it man's way. I want to do it God's way. I want us to beg it down from God only and let him work through us to do it. I want us to be closer to God than we were to the bank. Everybody doing okay? I want us to be closer to God than we are rich people. I want us to be closer to God than the builders and the contractors are. We've not done it man's way. And please, if you know of a church like this, I'm not criticizing them. And I'm not talking about that church because I don't know who you're thinking about. But we don't have a donate here button on our church website. Amen. You know, if somebody isn't going to bring their tithes into the storehouse, why should I have them give their money online to our church? I just believe that it ought to be brought to the house of God. We don't have we're building program, and you can donate to our building program online. Nope, bring it to the house of God. I haven't sent letters out to churches all over the country saying, look, would you take our church on for mission support and help us build a building over the next 12 months? By the way, that's being taught in some Bible colleges all over the country. I'm not saying it's wrong, but why is it everybody else's church's responsibility to help us build a building? If God's in it, can't God do it through us?
Yes, sir.
God said build a local church, not a denomination. Amen. To me, getting sponsors from all over the country to build our church is kind of like the denominations pulling all their money out and fishing it to somebody else that needs it for the time being. I want them to keep their money, give it to their missionaries, support their church, build their church. God will bless us and we'll do it. Amen. Yes, we'll just beg God and do it God's way. Everybody doing all right? Amen. I'm having fun right now. Hang on. I want us to get a hold of God the old-fashioned way, and we'll give him the praise and credit. Yes. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I heard Brother Hiles say over the years, bless God, you preacher boys, if you can't find a church that's got a building, you go find an empty lot somewhere, clear it off, and build your own building. Well, I did it.
Amen.
We're going to do it. We got the property. We're clearing it off.
Yes.
Now we're going to build a building. I heard Brother Roloff say the same thing. I heard Dr. Lee Robertson. You preacher boys sitting here at Tennessee Temple doing nothing, go out there and build a church. Go out there and start something. Heard him say that all over. Tom Malone, good night. If you've never heard Tom Malone preach, you have not heard somebody chew your stinking skin off. Tom Malone could chew you up and spit you out. Just an amazing preacher. I heard Tom Malone chew up a bunch of preacher boys one day. Thank God. I just got enough grit in my crawl, got just enough of the calling of God. If God wants us to do it, let's do it.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not against national-type meetings. I've just been a part of them for so long. We don't need a national meeting. We need to build a church here in this area.
Yes, sir.
Yep. I'm not against conferences. But I'm not here hosting a conference just to have a conference. why do we need another conference? We need to do what we've been taught in the conferences over the last 30 years.
Amen. That's good.
Again, I may go to a conference because I have a friend that hosts one, but that's to support my friend, not because I need the conference. I've been able to avoid them thus far, but the day's coming where I'm not going to. We're going to take our young people to a youth conference because I think it's important for our young people. Yes. It's the first one we're going to. By the way, it's the one I believe is the best one for them to go to.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But can I tell you something? I've waited on purpose. I've waited on purpose. Now's the time. And I want us to do it God's way, not man's way. Now, here's the title of my sermon. Ezra did it. We can too. Ezra did it. We can too.
Yes, sir.
If God could use Ezra and the children of Israel to do it in Jerusalem, God can use us too.
Amen.
You know, I don't think God picks favorites. I really don't think that God looks down and says, well, Ezra did it and nobody else can do it, just like that. I think God gave us Ezra in the Bible to show us how to do it. Today I'm going to give you seven statements, no poem. Seven statements about this to show you how God helped Ezra build the house of God in Jerusalem. Number one, the people gave a free will offering. Look at Ezra 1:4. Whosoever remaineth in any place he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Look at chapter 2, verse number 69. They gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work 60,100 drams of gold, 5,000 pounds of silver, and 100 priest's garments. Notice they gave after their ability. Can I tell you something? All I've asked through this whole thing is, everybody do what God can help you do. I've never asked anybody, and by the way, I'm not going to ask somebody to ruin their marriage, ruin their home, go in debt to give. I believe if we all do our part, God does the rest.
Yes.
I believe that. Now, notice it was a free will offering. Offering isn't tithe. They gave their tithes. The offering was over and above their tithe.
Yes, sir.
Did you know you can't give an offering till you tithed first?
Right.
That's God. Tithe means first hand. Offering is after you've tithed. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
now, let me help you with something. You say, preacher, I don't have a whole lot. I know how you feel. I don't either. But can I tell you something? If everybody does their part, God turns a little into a lot.
That's right.
None of us have a whole lot. But may I say this? We are approaching quickly the ability to go ahead and start this. Did you know just because... I got enough faith to say this. When we get our loan, it doesn't mean the giving's got to stop. I'll be honest with you, I believe our church could be debt-free in the next 5 years, 7 years at most. I think we can pay it off. But that means we've got to give every week. Say, well, I don't have a bunch to give right now towards the $30,000. Okay, taxes are coming. Most people get a return. Why don't you tithe on that and then say, God, I'm going to pray about giving a certain amount of that back to you to help with the work of God. My wife and I have done this for years. Sometimes we don't have the money saved up. Matter of fact, I've given everything I've got to this thing. But I can tell you this, we're increasing our tithe by a few percent. Every week, instead of giving 10%, if you gave 12% or 13% or 15%, just give a little extra every week over the next year or so, God can take that and multiply that. Yes. Now, the 10% is the required. The extra is offering.
Yes, sir. Yep. That's right.
But that's how God takes care of things. It's free will. And I don't mean this unkindly. I'm probably the world's worst at raising money. We don't count the offering, hold everybody hostage till we get what we need for the week. I just believe in praying it down and asking God to take care of it and get everybody to obey.
Yes, sir.
I just believe in that.
Amen.
Now, can I tell you something? There's one other way that we can give and give a little extra. This is my favorite way. Did you know that if every family in here went out and reached another family, got them into church, and taught them how to tithe, you can double what you give? That's the best way. Let's go out and reach people and teach them the blessing of giving. That's when it gets fun.
Yes, sir.
That's when it gets blessed. Did you know if our whole church went from 10% giving to 12% giving, that's a 20% increase, even though you only gave 2% more? We could increase our budget 20% by everybody just giving 2%. That's 20%. And you only gave 2. See, that's how God's math works. You say, well, preacher, I don't get that. You don't have to. Just trust me. I've done it. And I'm not asking you to do that. I'm giving you example of how people do things. They gave a free will offering. Bible says, after their ability. I don't want anybody to go hungry, not make their payments on all of the things that they owe to give to the church. Now, your tithe is required, but anything past that, I'm not asking anybody to do anything extra. I'm asking that's unusual. But if you have it, maybe we could cut out a few extra coffees that we buy at Sheets. I know, I just preached it myself. But I have. I quit going to Sheets for the most part. Unless somebody gives me a little card there, I rarely stop anymore. You say, why? Because I'm giving it back to God. You know, a buck and a half every day for 7 days, that's $10 a week. That's $500 a year. I think God can use it better than my stinking gut with coffee. Everybody doing all right? There's little things like that we could do. And I'm not saying you have to. I'm giving ideas. Did you know I don't look at your giving record? I have no desire to. I have the ability to, but I don't. I have no idea what anybody else in this room gives but my wife and I. Nobody. I don't look at it. God wants us to do it by free will. So they took a free will offering of the people. Number two, I love this statement. The people got excited by God. Look at verse number 5, chapter 1. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised. Notice that spirit is small s. That's man's spirit. That word spirit is your attitude. The attitude which God raised. I don't know about you, but I'm about so stinking excited I can't hardly stand it anymore. I have a hard time driving down Charlestown Road. Because my car just pulls into that 4272 lot there, and I look around, and I see a building there.
Amen.
I see a parking lot, and I see buses lined up, and I see boys and girls and mamas and daddies and people going in and out of that building, getting saved and lives changed. I see us filling up that water retention and baptizing them by the hundreds. Amen? We'll do it. I got the world's biggest baptistry out there.
Amen.
We'll have to do it in warm weather. Cold weather like this, it's not good. The water gets a little hard, amen? But I get excited about it. I can see it. Brother Rick Walters was here for a day. He had taken some folks to college and was coming back through here and was here Thursday and drove him out. We walked all over the property. Brother Barnes was out there burning some junk out there that's on the property. And I was saying, Brother Rick, the building's going to go right here and parking lot. And we were, he's pastoring and he envisions it. You know, he's building the same size building we're building right now. Taking them 5 years and they just now got a floor in. 5 years. They had a floor in last year, but they didn't have any money to go any farther. They tarped it and it all rotted.
Oh, no.
And they had to pull all that flooring up, and it ended up having to replace some of the rafters that were underneath it because they've got a poured concrete basement. So then they had to repiece, cost them an extra $25,000. Then they got 18 inches of snow. They've been scraping off of this thing every day. They got probably 2 feet of snow on the ground right now trying to finish getting this floor done. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to go through that.
Amen.
And God bless him. It's the way he's chosen and he's doing it. I'm happy for him, but I plan on being in our building by our fifth anniversary.
Yes, sir.
We're going to do it. Now, you say why? Because God's got us excited.
Amen. Yes,
some of y'all to drive by that property and just stand there and look at what God's done and get excited. We ought to get excited about it. You know, God has excited or raised the spirit for us to do this. Folks, my neck is only so long and it's stretched as far as it can go. I realize I'm the chicken on the chopping block. I know that, but there's something very exciting about building God's house. Can you imagine what it's going to do in this community when we start breaking ground up there?
Yes, sir.
When we start pushing things over and start pouring concrete and walls start going up, we are going to be the talk. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not doing it for attention, but it's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
I was at the hospital the other night. Tuesday when I got back from Kentucky, I got home, picked up the mutt, got home, I'm sorry, the dog, got home, changed clothes, and we were home 10 minutes and left and went to the hospital to see a couple folks in the hospital. I was walking down the hall and I saw a doctor coming at us that used to be my children's pediatrician. I haven't seen that doctor in years because my kids aren't little anymore. And I looked up and the funny thing was we had just, the kids were just talking about him over the Christmas holidays. I looked up and I called him by name and he saw me and came right to me, called me by name, and we stood there and talked for a little bit. Told him we'd started a church and he said, really, where? And I told him, and I said, we had just bought property, we're getting ready to build. He lives in a subdivision kind of behind the where we're at on the other side of the freeway. He said, as soon as the building's up, I'll have to come see you. I said, come anytime, Doc. Word's out. He said, I've heard some stir about new church in the area. He said, so you're the one stirring it. I said, yeah. I said, I'm good at stirring things. And he said, I'm excited. He said, I'll have to come visit you. And I said, we'd love to have you. Can I tell you something? There's something exciting about that.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me say this. Let's not just get excited about it. Let's do it.
Amen.
I know a lot of people get excited about the beginning part of this thing, but they don't carry it all the way through. You're looking at somebody who's going to carry it all the way through.
Amen.
Let's talk about it everywhere, and let's get everybody else excited about it. You don't know this, but I do. I've already written down basically the outline for the first sermon I'm preaching in that new building. I'm excited.
Amen.
I already know what I'm preaching, amen. So let's get excited about it. Notice it said God, the God who raised their spirit. That word raised means resurrect. He raised him from the dead. God's got to resurrect. There's people getting all excited about a stupid football game today. Now, I like sports. And I like trash talking. And I like the fact that Clemson's going to beat Alabama on Monday. But can I tell you something? When Ohio State got beat by, let me rephrase that. When Ohio State got killed by Clemson last week, it didn't affect my spirit at all. It really didn't affect me at all. It's a stupid game. Can I tell you something? I'm more concerned about people dying and going to hell and getting the building up.
Amen.
And doing a work for God.
Amen.
Okay, it's a football game. You got people all over the place get excited about it. How come we can't get excited about doing something for God?
Amen.
Number three, I got to hurry. because I'm fixing to have a spell. Number three, that's Southern for I'm going to have a good time. They strengthen their hands and their homes. Look at chapter 1, verse number 6. They strengthened their hands and their homes. And they all were about, and all they that were about them strengthened their hands. And I'm going to stop there. Turn to Ezra chapter 6. Look at verse number 22. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Can I tell you something? You're going to have to get yourself spiritually strong and, to some degree, physically strong. You know, I want us to all do our part, but I don't want anybody so wore out that they give up on church because of it. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I want everybody to do their part financially, but I don't want anybody going under financially because you gave it all to God and then get bitter at God because you don't have the money to pay your bills. You come to me about it, and I'll tell you, can you handle your finances and do this still? Don't you give it if you're going to let bills go unpaid. I've probably lost thousands of dollars to people in their giving because they, out of the goodness of their heart, they wanted to give, but out of wisdom, I couldn't counsel them to give it.
Yes, sir.
Say, doesn't that bother you, preacher? No, it makes me feel good that we're doing it the right way.
Amen.
I'd rather you be able to make your payments and make your bills than to give a little extra to the house of God, because if you're obeying in all those other areas, God can bless you and give you more later. I might not get it right now, but God will get it later for you. Okay? Everybody look this way. So don't feel like you, I just couldn't do much. Well, there's more coming. You can do it. Promise you. Well, I couldn't give a whole lot. Well, we're going to have a lot of building that needs cleaned. I can use helpers cleaning it. We're going to have a lot of yard to mow. Amen? We're going to have a whole lot of things that need done later, and everybody can do their part. But, may I say this, we need to plan ahead so that when the time comes, we're ready for it. Now, I want to show you something that is scriptural. You may not like what I'm about to say, but I think you'll enjoy it later. Number four, they hired out the work. Look at chapter 3, verse number 7. They gave money also unto the masons, and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had had of Cyrus, king of Persia. They hired the money, or hired the work out, and really, they had a grant or a loan to pay it with.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not for going massively in debt. But if it's a debt we can pay and we can get the building up and move forward, I say let's do it.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says, owe no man anything. If you look at that in the context of Scripture, it's not even in talking about finances.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Now, listen to me very carefully here. We must stay after doing God's work and reaching people. I promised God before I ever brought this to you that we weren't going to get so wrapped up in building a stupid structure that we quit soul winning.
Amen.
Can I tell you what happens? The average church decides to save $20,000 by putting their people to work. They take everybody off the streets to do the work, and it ends up taking them five times as long if they ever get it done. Guys are fighting with each other. People are arguing over everything, and nobody goes soul winning, and the church ends up dying. I've been at this a long time, people. I've watched it. I believe if we'll give our money and let our money do the talking, we can stay out knocking on doors, inviting people to church. We can fill up the house of God. And by the way, that's how Ezra did it. They hired it out. Did you know I have no problem yelling at a builder? If something's wrong, he's going to make it right. But if Brother Mike did it, I'm not going to yell at him because I love him and I don't want to lose him in church. And it might not get done right then. If the builder doesn't do it right, I'm paying his bills. He's got to do it right.
Yes, sir.
But I love Brother Mike enough, I'm not going to withhold paying him and losing him in church over something that might be an honest mistake. Everybody doing okay? Now, I'm not saying that there's not people in here that we're not going to use and maybe even hire to do some of the labor. If there's an area of expertise, we may do that. But honestly, I promise the Lord, we're going to hire this out so we can stay on the streets, knocking on doors, keeping people out of hell, filling up the building, let somebody else worry about building the building. Who knows how many of those builders are going to get saved and come to church? I can't wait to see some of these guys get saved and come to church and get baptized in the building they built.
Yes.
You say, preacher, how do you know? Because I know it's going to happen. I'm a witness to them all. We're going to have a prayer meeting one morning. Amen. I'm going to have a rule. You're not smoking on my job. This is the house of God. Don't you smoke. Go somewhere else.
Amen.
They might not like me, but they're going to respect the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. They hired out the work. We might spend a little more up front, but we're going to save it in the long run, I promise you. Now, everybody look at me. We're going to do the best with what we have, but we're not going to build a fancy building. I'm already working on some things to save us money. I've talked to Brother June and some other experts and HVAC, and I know what kind of HVAC system was going in. When I first met with the builder, I told him, I need something specially designed. He said, you're the only pastor that has talked to me about HVAC. He said, you know what you're talking about. I said, not totally. I said, I don't understand all the terms you use, but I know what will work in this area. And he said, already got you, preacher. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. I was talking to Brother Barnes the other day in reference to lighting, and there's some things I'd like to do with the lighting that we may pay a little bit more for a fixture up front, but in 2 years it pays for itself, and from then on it's all free. There's some things that there's new lighting out. There's LED versus fluorescent lighting that's available, and you pay a little bit more for it, but you pay a lot less over the period of time for it, and so we're contemplating some things. But we're not going to have gold altars and silver-lined fixtures in the bathrooms and everything else. folks, if you need a gold toilet, I'll get you some gold paint. But if you got enough to put gold on a toilet, just put it into the building fund, amen?
Amen.
I don't understand that kind of mentality. You know, I believe if we keep reaching people, God will hurry up the building of the house of God.
Yes, sir.
We're only going to go in debt by the amount we can pay back. I talked to a banker just Friday. I was talking to him over the phone, and he said, Pastor, you only want that much money? I said, yes, sir. He said, you have how much to put down on it? And I told him. He said, well, that's a no-brainer. He said, how come you only want that much? How big's your building? I told him. He said, how come you're not building bigger? I said, because I can't afford it. He said, you mean you're not asking for $3 or $4 or $5 million? I said, not yet. He said, what do you mean not yet? I said, we're going to ask for the half mil first, and then I'll fill a building. Then I got to build another building. So if you know what you're doing, you'll think about giving me a loan so that in a couple years when I fill up a building, we can take another loan out. By that time, I'm ready for another little bit of chunk of money. I said, over the period of life of my church, I plan on it growing so much. Yeah, I'll end up with $3 or $4 million, but not right now. He said, you're not going to go too far in debt. I said, no, sir. I said, I want to be able to pay it off. I said, I don't believe in going into so much debt I can't pay it. I said, you won't understand this. I said, but I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. I don't believe in pussyfooting for nobody, and I'm not going to change God's message to get a bunch of money in my church to pay the bills.
Amen.
He said, I haven't met you yet, but I like you. I said, good. I talk that way to the business folks. Say, why? Because I don't believe in going in so much debt we can't pay it back.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? I got to hurry up here. Number five. Everybody smile. Jesus loves you. I do too, but here comes a rough one. Liberals and compromisers will come to delude us. Look at Ezra chapter 4, verse number 1. Bible says, Now when the adversaries, that means enemies, of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up thither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua, and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house under our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, king of Cyrus and the king of Persia hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in the building. Can I tell you something? We're not going to yoke up with the liberals to build a building.
Amen.
Not trimming the message to build a building. And please listen to this with all sincerity. We've been offered all the money in the world we want to build this building. If I just take this church and put it into a Southern Baptist Convention or the GARBC or a convention of some sort, the convention will pay for it. I'm not doing it.
Amen.
I was looking for loaning institutions. They said, well, if you move your church into our convention, we'll take care of all the building costs and we'll just take a percentage of your offerings for it, but we've got the money in savings. We'll just pay cash for it. I said, you don't want me. They said, why? I said, King James only, soul winning, Bible believing, hell raising, barnstorm preaching. You're right, we can't help you.
Amen.
I said, I'm not pussyfooting, I'm not changing. Folks, we've been offered any bit of money we wanted. They said, you only want that much? How about double that and we'll take care of it? I said, I'm not joining up with you. I'm not yoking up with you.
Right.
We're going to have people that come that they're these non-denominational people. They're going to want to bring their drums and electric guitars. Not going to happen.
Amen.
This isn't the non-denominational rock and roll church. This is a hell-raising independent fundamental Baptist church.
Amen.
I'm not going to let the liberals in to dilute us.
That's good.
And please listen, I mean this with all sincerity. I won't tell you what church it was, but it was in one of the early churches of my ministry. The church had grown to well over 1,000. They moved from one property to another, got so much in debt that they had to change what they believed to bring people in to pay the bills. Hobnobbing with the socialites, I couldn't put up with it. It came to blows between me and the preacher that I worked for, and I didn't change. God got me out of there. And I was happy.
Amen.
I wasn't changing. When the pastor looks at you and says, well, I used to be as fundamental as you, but I've come to the reality of life. I took my Bible, I slammed it on his desk, and I said, that book didn't change, you changed.
Amen.
I said, just because you went in over your head financially doesn't change that book right there. He's no longer in the ministry. No longer in the ministry. I'm still preaching what I did back then.
Amen.
I haven't changed. Amen. Got a little harder. Got a little meaner. But I haven't changed. Can I tell you something? The liberals are parasites.
Yes, sir. That's
did right. You know, I don't care if it's a religious liberal or a political liberal or a social liberal. Liberals are parasites.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that communism will bankrupt itself?
Yes, sir.
Communism cannot survive on its own.
That's right.
That's why Russia broke down in the 1980s, because they had gone long enough with no ability to make money that they had to break down so they could go out and have a little bit of capitalism to bring money back into Russia.
Yep.
Liberals are parasites. Welfare cannot survive unless there is a working class. So they suck off the working class to give to the non-working class. They're parasites. And I don't care if it's religious parasites. they want to come in and yoke up with you so that they can take over. They don't make the liberal strong enough to fight me. I hate to tell you. Your preacher's not going to be accepted by some of the religious crowd. We're not going to be the social church in the community. I'm sorry. We're not going to have the PTA and the local, what do you call those things? Subdivision meetings or what do you call those things? Homeowners Association meetings. There you go. We're not going to have those kind of business meetings held in our church. The Little League isn't going to use the field out front for practice. Not because I'm against those people, but it's the house of God, not a government network or a community network. That's what community centers are for, not the church.
Amen.
Get a little ticked off reading in the newspaper. Well, if these churches would do their job, we wouldn't have as much problem with homelessness. We need to pay their bills. Where is it said in the Bible where I have to pay everybody's bills?
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'll help our people. If they get behind, but may I say this, I'll do whatever I can to help folks, and I'm for helping the poor. But bless God, get off their backside and get a job and go pay their own bills.
Amen.
I said that with love, of course. They're going to try to draw you away. Well, our buildings are fancier. We have better programs. We have a better music program. We have live orchestration. I find nowhere in the Bible where they had orchestras in church. I'm not against it, but we've gone so far to the other side that we want to be culturally acceptable.
Amen.
And bless God, thank God, we got a bass clarinet and a harmonica that play duets.
Amen.
Say, what's that? That's a big clarinet and a mouth or organ, amen?
Yes, sir.
The brother Stoltz has got bolts on to hold the stupid thing together. Look at that. He got that thing wired together. He said, that's my West Virginia harmonica, preacher. Thank
Amen.
God for a redneck harmonica.
Super glue.
I'll get Brother Mike out there with his saw, playing the saw, and Brother Wiley with his jug, blowing the jug. I'll get Brother Barnes out there with his juice harp, and man, we're going to have a real orchestra, amen?
There you go, amen.
Can I tell you something? I'm tired of this performance garbage.
Yes, sir.
I led a man to Christ a few weeks ago. I was told he was going to cuss me out, kick me out of his house. Mm. Got there, found out he had 3 deer heads on the wall. I knew how to talk to that dude. Went in, talked to him, dying of cancer. Mm. Won him to Christ, first conversation. Watch this. Some of the family got back with me this week. I said, how's your dad doing? And they said, well, he's doing a little better, but he's still talking about you coming to see him.
Amen.
I said, what do you mean? Is that good or bad? You know, duck or pucker? He said, this lady said, she called, my dad calls you the mountaineer preacher. She said, he never heard any preacher talk like you talk. And I said, good. She said, he actually likes you, preacher. I said, good. I said, I'm excited.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I'm not so good that I can't talk to an old tough dude. Thank God.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. I've won more men to Christ over a stupid deer head than anything in my life. I'm glad I'm not afraid to get my hands greasy and dirty and guts all over them, and I'll climb in there with them. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you why? Because I believe in being real.
Amen.
Not this put-on stuff. Everybody doing okay? I'm glad my pickup truck doesn't have pansies in the back. It's got blood.
Amen.
Number 6. They focused on doing the work God's way and not straying. Look at Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, look at verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel the statutes and judgments. Wow, look at verse 26. And whosoever will not do in the law of thy God, in the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him. Wow. Can I tell you something? We're not going to change our stand on the Bible.
Amen.
Or for Bible standards to build a church.
Amen.
I believe that we're supposed to believe the King James Bible whether we have a building or not.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And I'm going to believe it in a new building whether they like it or not.
Amen.
I believe that there ought to be a difference between the Christians and the world. I think we ought to dress different. I think we ought to look different. I think we ought to
Amen.
Smell different.
That's right.
I think we ought to act different. I believe men ought to dress like men and know which bathroom to go in. I think ladies ought to know how to dress like a lady and know what bathroom to go in. I just believe that it all ought to be done right. I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to apologize for it. We've lost people in this church because I preach that way. I don't care if it hair lips every dog in town. I'm still going to preach what's right. It's the law of the Lord, the statutes and the judgments. And according to Psalm 119, all of those are in reference to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing all right? I got to hurry here. God will use us common people to do the work. But we're going to obey God's laws and we'll obey man's laws. And let me just say right here, we're going to end up having to follow building codes. Don't complain about it. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm for following building codes. Amen. Some of them I may not like or understand, but I don't have to like or understand them to do it. I don't understand why certain places in this town, the speed limit's 35 or 25. It should be 65. But I still obey the speed limit. You don't understand. There's fire code in this area. You can't hang anything from a suspended ceiling. We're not going to decorate a suspended ceiling hanging things from it because it's in violation of the fire code. Why? It's just for a little while. We're not going to jeopardize the success of our church over a stupid decoration hanging from the ceiling.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Smile, everybody. It's all right. I promise you. We'll follow the building codes.
Amen.
I'm for it. I'm for building inspectors. I want it built right. I sat at the Jefferson County Planning Committee in front of a whole host of people there, including all the building inspectors, the building engineers, and all of the big shots that were there. And they said, well, now, Pastor, you're going to have to follow certain guidelines. I said, that's okay. I said, you just give me what the guidelines are, and we'll follow them. I said, you don't understand something. They said, well, we're just trying to keep everybody safe. Brother Mike, this is what I told him. I said, I believe in keeping people safe. I said, here's what's different. I said, I know every one of them, where they live, and I love them. You don't even know who they are. I want them safer than you do. One lady that oversaw the whole thing, she looked at me. She said, wow, nobody's ever said that in this meeting before. I said, well, I mean it. I said, I want them safer than you do. I said, bring it on. I said, I'll follow it all. I said, I don't have to like it to follow it. I said, just don't add things on there I don't need. He said, oh, we wouldn't do that. I said, good, then we're going to get along fine. The head inspector, the dude that's got to sign off on everything, he looked at me. He said, you're no fun. I said, what do you mean? He said, you got her as your architect. He said, you got him as your engineer. He said, I ain't got a chance. Amen. Do you realize our engineer is the one that wrote all the building codes for Jefferson County? I don't have to waste my time submitting plans and them kicking it out because we don't meet code. He wrote the code.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We get them written once, it's done. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We got a star-studded team put together. We got the best of the best of the best.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? It's going to be fun. But we're going to follow the rules, both God's and as many of man's laws that don't violate God's.
Yes.
Now, when they tell me I can't have church on Sunday, we're having church on Sunday.
Yes.
That goes against God's law.
Right.
But whether I have to have three parking spots for every 20 people, okay, I'm not going to fight man over that. I plan on filling up all the parking spots and then some. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Number 7, and I'm done. We will dedicate the building with joy. Look at Ezra chapter 6, and verse number 16. Ezra 6, verse number 16. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. Wow. Now, I can't wait for the day we have our first service in that building.
Amen.
We're going to have a wing dinger. We are. Just hang on. It's coming. Now, I've asked Dr. Jeff Fugit to come and preach a dedication for our building. I don't know when it is, and if it's on a Sunday, he won't be able to be there, I don't think, because he'll be at his church, and I understand that. So we might have a service before we have the actual dedication. But as soon as we can have a church service in there, we're having a church service. And I already told the Lord, if the rapture happens before I have a church service in there, I'm going to be a little upset. I'm going through all this to not be able to be in there. But we're going to have a time. Amen. We're going to invite everybody in the neighborhoods. Amen. We're going to hit the streets hard. I'm going to invite the bankers. I'm going to invite the lady who sold us the property. She said she's already interested in coming. We have two people that have helped donate a lot of money, I hope. Mr. Bossy, the man that helped us get the $45,000 for the property, he called here this week just to find out how things were going. Told him what all was going on. He sat on the phone crying. I said, Mr. Bossy, I said, I want you to come to that opening service. He said, if I'm still alive and if everything, I'll do everything in my power to be there that day. My old boss that's, Lord willing, going to give us the $60,000 because I hope we have the $30,000. He's already said, I got an email from him this weekend that said, I need an update as soon as possible. I need to know where to send the check. He said, and I look forward to being in the house of God when it opens up.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? We're going to invite those folks. I'm going to invite the engineers. I'm going to invite the architect. I'm going to invite the builder and all the people that subcontracted underneath them to be there. I'm going to invite the county officials. Say, preacher, are you going to behave when you preach? No. I'm not putting on a show. We're going to have church. But I'm going to invite everybody. We're going to overflow that building. I hope the fire inspector's not there that day. Yeah, invite him too and get in trouble. Amen. Shut us down before we start. I'll let Brother Mike take care of him. Amen. He'll bring his excavator and dig a hole and throw him in. I mean, I really think the journal and whatever Jefferson County newspaper will publish it, that we're going to have it, and I'll put it on every news thing I can get for free. I'm too cheap to pay for it. Nobody reads the journal enough to want to know about too much. But I can see it happening. Folks, you say why? Because God did it.
Amen.
God did it.
Amen.
God did it. We're going to have a big dedication day that day. It's going to be fun. Now, we will grow in numbers of people and how many people we can help as well. Ezra chapter 8, verse number 36, the Bible says, and they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and the governors on this side of the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. Just because we get a building up doesn't mean we're done. It's just starting. We have to go out and reach more people. It's all in vain if it's all we do is put up four walls. If we're content with just being us four no more, it's in vain. Our church will continue to be a hospital, not a museum. We're not going to build a museum. We're going to build a hospital for people to come and get help. Everybody doing okay? We will not change what we do. We will just do more of it. We'll have more people to reach. We'll have more needs to meet. And we're going to be known in our area as a place for helping people. That's what I want us to be known as. Ezra did it. so can we. God showed us in the Bible how Ezra did it, how he had Ezra do it. And guess what? Grace Baptist Church, we're going to do it just the way God said do it. Amen. We're going to defy man to do it, but we're going to do it God's way, because when we're done, we're going to be able to say, look what he did.
Amen.
Look what he did, not look what we did. And as long as we keep the focus on him, everything will be all right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe with all my heart God wants us at this time to do this. And we're going to do it God's way.